this kind of catchphrase that we have over us. Everyone a witness. This isn't about a one or two of us. Oh, they're the ones that do all the evangelism for the church. Or, you know, Phil does that with his team on a Friday, or the Alpha team do it. It's about every one of us. So this is it for equipping every single person here. So go for it, Marie.
Okay, can everyone hear me okay? Yep, excellent. Well, great to be here. And before I start, I'm just going to pray. So, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you that we have got lots to celebrate, Lord Jesus, because of you dying on that cross for us. And Lord, I ask that you would use my words this morning, that you would help me to help others to share the good news of what you are doing in our lives, so that we may be your witnesses to the ends of the earth, as you told us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I just feel that I need to just quickly go through the gospel. In case you don't know who Jesus is, why we celebrate him, why we give him our adoration and our love, very simply, we are sinful, broken people. We have all turned our back away from God, and we live life our way. And the Bible says the penalty of sin is death. Now, that's an eternity in hell. However, Jesus is God. He's fully God. He came down. He humbled himself to live life like we do, and he lived the perfect life, fully God and fully human. So that when he died on that cross, he was killed for blasphemy. That was why they killed him, because he said he was God, and yet he'd never sinned. So when he died on that cross, he took the punishment that you and I deserve, so that we can be forgiven of our sins, because Jesus took that punishment. And not only did he die, he rose again 3 days later. So we've sung this morning about the hope that we have, and the future that we know that we're going to have. Now, we know that because Jesus has risen. And when we trust in Jesus, he promises that not only will he forgive us from our sin and make us new again, and we are born again is the term that gets used very often, and that's what it means to be born again. We become new creations in Jesus, and we have the promise of eternal life with Jesus and our Father in heaven for eternity when we eventually leave this world. Doesn't mean that this life is going to be easier, but what it does mean, as Robert said earlier, is we can trust him always, and he will make straight our paths. Everything works together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you don't know Jesus, and you don't know why we're celebrating and why we've worshipped him like this and why we're going to want to be a witness to him, that is why. Because he's good news for every single one of our friends, our family, our colleagues, the stranger on the street who don't know him, who are all headed towards hell and living their lives with their back turned against God. Jesus is good news, because Jesus forgives us our sins. Jesus makes us right with God. He brings freedom, as we've already heard, from fear this morning, and you'll hear my story a little while later about how he brings freedom from fear. And he can bring freedom from so much more than just fear. And that is why we celebrate. And that is why we've got good news to tell people about Jesus. So as John's already said in Acts 1 verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." John 1:3 says, "That which you have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So, how are we doing with the PowerPoint, guys? I want this one because it's got some pictures on it. But it's about my only visual. My technology skills have not been very good. I have learned I need to have some lessons on PowerPoint this week trying to put this together. So, yay, there we go. So if we can go to this next slide. Next slide. Okay, so what is a witness? and what does it mean to testify? So the picture in the middle is someone committing a crime and some people who are witnessing that crime. What, to be a witness basically means that you have you are a person who sees an event. Now, often we think about being testifying in the case of courts, law courts. So just like the little nervous turtle up there, he's standing in the dock, he's ready to testify to what he has seen or experienced in the dock in court. But testimony also says in the dictionary that to testify is to give evidence as a witness in the law court or serve as evidence or proof that something exists or is the case. Now, we are called to testify, to be witnesses. We've seen it. Now we testify. That's just the speaking out what we're seeing to Jesus and what he has done in our life. So it could be over a cup of coffee, just with your friends chatting away over a cup of coffee. You can say how Jesus has impacted you this week, or like our sister here shared this morning, how just that simple story, that is testifying and witnessing about Jesus. You could be speaking and testifying to tens, twenties, or thousands of people. I would suggest that the majority of us are not likely to be in that situation, so you don't need to worry if the thought of standing up here or somewhere bigger and talking about what Jesus has done in your life petrifies you, because that isn't what we're all called to do. Some of us will be, but not all. It could be in your workplace, where you're just having a conversation with someone and a topic comes up and you think, Jesus has helped me with that. I know Jesus can help me with that, or help this person with that. And you just share your story of, oh, I used to have something, I went through something like that, and this is what Jesus did for me, and this is how I dealt with it. My faith really helped me. Jesus really helped me. Or it could just be out on the streets, chatting with your mates down the park, or wherever you might be. But we are all called to witness to Jesus. So if you've met with Jesus and you've been born again, you will have a reason why you follow him. And that's one way that you can share your story of why do you believe in Jesus? What made you believe in Jesus? And that's often when we say we're going to share our testimony, that's often the one that we think about. We're testifying and sharing our testimony is the one that brings us to the point where we believe in Jesus. But it's more than that, as I've already said. It can be how he is helping you to overcome a problem, how he's helped you deal with a situation. It's just that normal everyday talking about how Jesus has helped you in situations. So we're just going to have a quick look at a couple of stories in the Bible. Next slide, please. So in John 9, Jesus heals the man born blind from birth. And he gives him it's the story where he makes the mud pies and pats them in the eyes, tells him to go and wash and comes back. And the man born blind can see. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, question him and can't understand why he can now see, but he was born blind, and they are accusing him of being born blind because he was in sin. And he just says, he healed me, I've got sight. And they keep challenging and we keep challenging it. And he says, one thing I do know, that although I was blind, now I see. So he didn't necessarily know who Jesus was fully, but he told them of what Jesus had done for him. In the next story, we've got the woman at the well in Samaria in John 4. And this is where Jesus at lunchtime is chatting to a lady at the well, and he tells her that she's got five husbands. She's amazed. She goes back to the village and says, come and see a man who told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And because she said that, it then says 10 verses later, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, he told me all I ever did. It then goes on to say more people got saved because they saw and encountered Jesus for themselves. But many got saved just because she told her testimony, he's told me all I ever did. And then in Luke 8, we've got the story where Jesus heals the man who is being possessed by the legion of demons. And once he the villagers hear about it. They come to Jesus and they drive him out of the village. But the man who's been healed says to Jesus, or he begged Jesus to go with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went and proclaimed all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. And as a result of that, later on, many get saved. So each and every one of us is uniquely placed to testify to the power of God and the works of Jesus in our lives. Every single one of you here, if you know Jesus, you will have stories of what he's done in your life, how he's helped you, why you believe in him, and so on. No one can tell you you can't share your story. Your story is your story. It's personal to you. They might challenge you a little bit. They might dispute it. But actually, it's your story. And nobody has yet told me, well, I can't tell my story of how I've come to faith at work. It's my story. I go into work and I talk about, oh, I went to a conference this week and heard a story of how Jesus had healed a woman of Hodgkin's lymphoma disease. Share that story. People can't say, you can't say that. I'm telling stories. It's just what I've done over a weekend or at an event. And it's no different to us talking about our friends or our parents or our family or our loved ones or our work situations. If we love Jesus, if we're walking with Jesus, if we're following him and we're having that relationship with him, it should be natural for us to talk about Jesus and what he has done in our lives. But naturally, it doesn't need to be a big thing. It's just talk about something and move on to the football match or something like that and leave people as if it's just a normal part of conversation, because it should be. Sharing our stories should be just as easy as that. Never underestimate, as we've seen by these verses, never underestimate the power of your story. Next slide, please. So there was some research done called the Talking Jesus Survey, and what they found is 1 in 5 non-Christians say that they're open to an experience or an encounter with Jesus following a conversation with someone they know who knows him. And that same percentage also want to know more about Jesus. I think that's a really exciting statistic, don't you? 1 in 5 people want to know more about Jesus. 1 in 5 people who, once you've spoken to them about Jesus, actually want an encounter with Jesus. Don't be afraid to talk about Jesus, because there's plenty out there. What an opportunity. Next slide, please. So the same research asked people what helped them find their faith. So out of all these people, they're all Christians. Sorry, you probably can't actually see it up there. But 36% of Christian adults and 15% of youth said that a conversation with a Christian were one of the most positively influencing factors on them coming to faith. I think that's pretty outstanding as a percentage. 36% having a conversation with a Christian about Jesus and our faith. So I just hope that really encourages you that we can be sharing our stories. Lots of people shared stories with me about their faith, about Jesus, long before I was ready to accept Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. Many of those people have no idea that I'm saved. Many of those people have no idea what I'm doing now, but they were willing to just share a story. Some of them got the grumpy Marie who didn't really want to know in the early days, but they still played a significant part in my story of coming to know Jesus. Don't ever think that that story is wasted when you share your encounters with Jesus. So, next slide, please. So, can you share your story of what Jesus has done for you? It could be why or how you came to faith in Jesus, as I've said. Or it could be how Jesus helped you with someone, something else. So, as I've already mentioned, anger, abuse, fear, forgiveness, seeking approval from others. The list goes on and on and on of the ways that Jesus can help us. It could be something in the past, or it could be something you're working through now, and how you have found Jesus' peace in this situation, or how he's helped you to take steps to heal, get through it, whatever it might be. If you're sharing something that's current and active, then I would just encourage you to be sensitive to whether that's the right thing. Only you know whether that's the right thing to do, but don't feel that you need to share stuff that you are working through, because it might be too raw, it might be too painful. But at the same time, it could be exactly what the person that you are talking to needs to hear, that you're going through a similar thing, and the reason you can deal with it in a different way is because you've got Jesus helping you and what Jesus is doing for you. It's really important to keep it short and simple, especially if you're at work. You might only get a minute or two to share your story, and it could be why you believe, or it could be how he's helped. I get situations at work all the time. It's like, what? You became Christian. What does that mean? Why did you become a Christian? And I could literally have 60 seconds. I could have a bit more time and they get the longer version. But it's really important that we know how to share our stories succinctly and in a short period of time. 5 minutes is probably the longest you're going to get to share it, unless you're preaching on it or something like that. Talk about Jesus, not God. This is really important, because Jesus is God. Jesus is who we define our God by. Because if we talk about God, Hindus follow hundreds of gods. Muslims follow God. They follow Allah. There's all sorts of different gods. God isn't challenging for a lot of people. But when we say God, we want people to know who God is. And we know that God is Jesus. So when we say Jesus, people will know who we mean straight away. They're not going to get confused with some higher power being of whatever. We know straight away we're talking about Jesus. Also, there's power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that. There's power in the name of Jesus. So just by speaking the name of Jesus, you're releasing power. So focus your testimony on what Jesus has done. Thank you. Make Jesus the focus and hero of your story. So often we hear long stories about what life was like. I started going to church and I started doing this and I started doing that. And eventually I became Christian. Sometimes you don't even hear Jesus mentioned when someone's sharing their story. It's really important that actually we make Jesus the hero of that story. So you don't need to focus on all the details in the beginning, in the early days. You can keep it generalized. And that's why it's really good to think about it, because actually I can ramble on about my life and what I was like and why I did stuff, or I can keep it really short and succinct in, you know, I was seeking approval from others and I was doing this by doing that, and name a few things that summarized my character and my life in a sentence. And it's taken me a long time to think of it, but I can share my testimony with the gospel in 30 seconds. I'm not doing that today because it's a different talk. But you've got to practice these things. You don't need to share things, as I've already said, that you're working through. And it's just a case of sharing the story that God has given you to share. He does the rest. It's Jesus and our Father in heaven who does the saving, not us. We can use our stories, how he's given them to us, to lead people to Jesus. But God does the saving and not us. So next slide, please, Matt. This is where you're going to have to start thinking in a minute. So a little bit of a structure. There's many ways you can share testimony. I'm just going to give you this structure today. And the first bit is, think what your life was like either before trusting Jesus or before you put Jesus into that situation. So if you didn't know Jesus and it's your testimony of you coming to faith, what was life like before you trusted him? if it's a case of you've been saved, but something you're dealing with, what was that situation like before you really realised that you'd given it to Jesus? So for me, I used to absolutely hate public speaking. When I first got saved 10 years ago, it petrified me to read my Bible aloud in home group. So a small group of 10 people reading a verse petrified me, and quite often I didn't do it because it was too scary. If I knew I was doing something like this, giving a presentation at work, I would be awake for nights before, panicking, worrying, stressing, having it going through my brain constantly. I was scared witless. It absolutely petrified me to read aloud or do any kind of public speaking. And then the next stage is trusting in Jesus. So this is going to be the majority of your testimony and what you want to say. So in our case, we're looking at about a 5-minute testimony today. So what has Jesus done for you? Don't use Christianese terms like I've got saved, terms like I've been washed by the blood, things like that that are churchy language. And generally, if you don't know anything about church, people are going to go, you know, I've said it today, I've been saved, I've been... But if you're not in church settings, if you're out chatting to your friends, your friends aren't going to know what being saved is or what washed by the blood means. So don't use Christianese. And then go on to talk about it. So who is Jesus? Perhaps you realised that Jesus was God and that he died for you. What did he do for you? That he'd set you free, or he'd forgiven you, or because he'd forgiven you, that meant that you could forgive others. Those kind of things. Why did you want to follow him? If it is your testimony of coming to faith, what made you want to follow Jesus? And so on. So in my fear testimony, I say something like, but I realised that Jesus didn't want me to live in fear anymore. When he died on that cross, he broke the chains of fear. And the Bible says very much that I won't be enslaved by anything, that I'm a new creation, so I don't have to be afraid of these things anymore. It says, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control, or sound mind, depending on what version you're reading. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and that he promises to give me peace. So I started to give this over to Jesus and said, look, you're saying these things, Lord, but I'm feeling this, but I don't want to be enslaved by and don't want to be held back by this fear of public speaking. I'm trusting your word. You've said I can do all things who strengthen me. You've said I can be free from fear. I give this to you. I give this to you now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So in the early days, I would stand with the mic held here, the Bible held here if I had a word to bring, and pushing through fear, knowing that Jesus would help me, I would stand here and read a verse of scripture. And I had to hold them like this, because if I didn't, I was so nervous, they were like that and I wouldn't have been able to read them anyway. So it's a case of pushing through, trusting that actually I'm not going to be enslaved to fear anymore. Jesus has broken that fear on the cross, and he did that so that I could be free. So I've gradually pushed and pushed, trusting Jesus every time into situations where I'm here today teaching and standing up front, and I've slept perfectly last night. It doesn't bother me the night before anymore. Thank you, Jesus, because Jesus brings freedom from fear. So once you've talked through the middle section of what does trusting Jesus look like, what did it look like in that situation, that's also the time that you can get the gospel in at certain points, or maybe some scriptures. So I use some different Bible verses, as I've just said there. You can also bring aspects of the gospel in, so you know that Jesus died to set you free, that he's given you that freedom, that all sorts of different things, depending on your testimony, depends how you can share it. So then the last minute, what we want to speak about very briefly is, what's life like now? And I kind of done that already when I was sharing a minute ago. So what's the change that's happened in your life? I went from being selfish to not being selfish anymore. I have purpose where I thought I had none. Life is like this when I used to be like, so you're showing that before and after Jesus in your testimony. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of help in thinking how you can share your testimony to include Jesus within that. We're now going to hear from Jackie, who is going to share her testimony of how she came to faith, and you've just heard my testimony of how Jesus helped through a situation.
Good morning, everyone. So I've got it written down in the hope that that will help me stick to timing, because I have promised Marie it won't be more than 5 minutes. So my name's Jackie. I grew up in a Christian household. My dad was a vicar. I married. I became a teacher. And I'd consider myself to be a vague Christian. I certainly believed in God and enjoyed attending church very occasionally, Christmas, Easter, weddings, funerals. I saw God as distant, like a wealthy celebrity or royalty. He existed, but far from me. Jesus didn't really figure in my life or my thoughts. I was far from God, but I didn't know it. Life was good. It appeared this way and it felt it. But the reality was that I struggled hugely with various situations, although I was pretty expert at putting on a front of independence and strength to cover up and cope. When I became pregnant with my first child, I was so bowled over by the wonder of creation and this new person growing in me, and I felt drawn to seek God, the Creator. I became involved with my local church, and although it was an exciting time, there was still something missing. What was missing was Jesus, but I didn't know this. Having had my second child, I decided to do an Alpha course. Through the course, Jesus became the focus for my thoughts and my lack of thoughts. And my lack of thoughts about him were challenged. It seemed a crazy, far-fetched story that Jesus had come to earth to be the perfect sacrifice, to pay the price for my sin, to enable me to have a relationship with God. And yet, although it seemed far-fetched, I had to admit it could be true. And if it was true, that called for a response from me. Despite this poor attitude, looking back, it was as if Jesus was pursuing me and wooing me. One day, in the resources cupboard at school, with 10 minutes to go before a lesson, I gave up and I gave my life to Jesus in a really ungrateful way. I basically said, I give in. If it's true, thank you that you died for me, Jesus. I choose to go your way. And if it's true, show yourself to me. And it was very ungrateful. I certainly didn't recognize the huge significance of what I'd done. But Jesus started working in me. I started to want to read the Bible. I couldn't stop singing songs of worship. I had a powerful hunger for the gifts of the Spirit. And over the years, I've grown in my relationship with Jesus. He's my friend, he's my saviour, and I'm no longer far from God. It may have seemed far-fetched, but I found it to be true. And there are so many ways in which Jesus has worked in my life and changed it into something glorious. But maybe the most significant change for me has been in the area I struggled with. And it would be so much easier and far more comfortable to gloss over this and not go into detail about it. Because my thought patterns were crazy. I lived my life thinking about everything as a hierarchy. I constantly measured myself up against other people. Who's prettiest? Who's slimmest? Who's got the best accent? Who's most middle class? And if I felt that they beat me on any of these areas, I was crippled with a lack of confidence, but worked incredibly hard to hide this. Jesus showed me how my thinking was untrue. He showed me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and therefore I have value, as does everyone else, whatever their accent or however slim they might be. He changed my way of thinking about myself and others, and that has changed the way I behave. Jesus has transformed an area of struggle into an area I enjoy and an area of strength. And now life is far better than good. I'm on an exciting adventure, growing each day in my relationship with Jesus. How did I ever live life without him? And how did I ever think it was possible to be a vague Christian? Knowing Jesus is my focus and my passion, there's nothing vague about it in the slightest.
Okay, so we're now going to have a practice time. So what in pairs, if you can try and get yourself into twos, if you're struggling with twos, then threes. But we're just going to spend the next up to 5 minutes, I'll tell you when we're going to stop, just thinking about lots of different situations. So think about your story. Either you want to share why you came to faith and how you came to faith, or have a go at just thinking through some different scenarios where you know that Jesus has helped you. So whether it's something like overcoming fear, like you've heard two testimonies of this morning, or as Jackie said, the way about comparing herself. It could be just that aspect of her testimony. There's something there that you have lived by and lived like. So just spend 5 minutes, pick one of those things, and then just think how you can talk that through over a 5 minute period. And then you know what's going to come next. You're going to practice it in your pairs. One have a go for 5 minutes and then the other one have a go. So if you need pen and paper, if you put your hand up and we'll get some out to you. Thank you. You take half and I'll take. Anybody need any pen and paper? If you need pen and paper, put your hand up so we can make sure that you... So at the moment, you should be talking. At the moment, you should just be thinking about how you are going to do this. Does anybody else need any pen or paper? If you don't know Jesus and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, maybe you want to be thinking about what brought you here today, or have a little think about what you've heard and the impact of that on you, and then you can talk about that in your turn. Okay, so if you haven't already started, start sharing person one.
If you haven't already swapped over, have a swap now, because many groups are in threes, so especially those in threes. Okay, you've got a couple more minutes, so if you're in a three and haven't shared, then now you need to swap over. Okay, if you want to bring your conversations to a close. It's great to hear so much conversation going on. Hopefully it is all testimony and telling all about Jesus. But if we can bring it to a close, we're running out of time.
Pardon? I'm just going to summarise a quick 3 points, do a response call. And... okay. I can make a school...
I could do a school teacher mode, couldn't I? Or should I go into public order mode?
Okay, so just a quick recap. Keep it simple. Don't go into too much detail about your life previous to Jesus, all the nitty-gritty, how you were so miserable that you whatever and all of that kind of stuff. But keep it simple and succinct. Keep it Jesus focused. Remember, Jesus is the superhero of your story, not you. As much as we like to be the hero of our stories, actually, if Jesus isn't talked about much, if people don't see Jesus as the hero of our stories, then we're not telling them quite right, because Jesus is the one that we should be raising up. And next slide, please, Diego. Practice, practice, practice. As I've said many a time, I practice the way I share my testimony all the time. I critique when I get to say it. I did a radio interview earlier this week, which will go out at some point, and within that I've shared my testimony. And the first thing I did when I came back, or as I walked away, was critique myself. What did I do? Right, did I get that? Did I say that? Could I have changed that bit? And I'm constantly practicing. I'm constantly trying to think through situations, how the gospel has applied to them or how the gospel could apply to them, so that when I'm talking to anybody and the situation comes up, I can share testimony, share a story that will help people to A, deal with their problem, but also point them towards Jesus. So keep it simple, keep it Jesus focused, and practice, practice, practice. 10 years and I'm still practicing, and I've done a lot of practicing, and I'll keep going, because there's always better ways we can do it, and ask Jesus to help you in doing that. I just want to pray for us in a minute, but first of all, if everybody could bow their heads, close their eyes. If you have heard about Jesus today and you've never given your life to him, you've never fully surrendered to him, you have heard what's been said this morning, you've heard these testimonies, you've heard the good news of what Jesus can do for you, and he can make you right with God, and you want that. You want today to make a commitment to Jesus, and you want to start following him and to start on this journey, whether that's in a non-gracious manner, as Jackie did, it doesn't matter, or whether it's a fully thankful for what he's done way, it doesn't matter. But if that is you, with every head bowed, eye closed, if you could just raise your hand so that I could know, so that we can speak to you afterwards, that would be great. Anybody? Okay, so if everyone just repeats after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on that cross for me. I am sorry that I turned my back on you. I don't want to live my life my way anymore. I want to follow you. Jesus, will you be my best friend? Will you come and help me to follow you well? Thank you that you make us a new creation. Thank you for dying for me. Amen. Okay, Father, I want to thank you that each and every one of us has a story to share. Each and every one of us has stories of the way that you work in our life. And I ask, Father, that you would help us to be more and more aware of what you are doing in those situations, that you would help us to recognize you when we're going through hard times, when we're challenged with anger issues or unforgiveness or bitterness or any of those things. Father, I ask that you would help us to stay focused on you Lord Jesus, and your ways, and that we would trust you with all our heart, and that we wouldn't lean on our own understanding, and that we would have many stories to tell of what you have done in our life and how you have worked. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.